All right, let's pray. Do me a favor, stretch your hands toward me. I need your prayer here today as I minister, please. Thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, I trust in you, God, that you're in control, that you would lead, God, direct everything that I say, God, that would be seasoned with you, Lord, that I would depend on you, that I would hear your voice today. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. There are a few stories in the Bible I want to talk to you about, but there's a three-part series I'm going to start today. Next week, our youth pastor, Rev Jake, give it up for Rev Jake. He's going to be ministering next Sunday. And they survived their first youth lock-in. They did a great job. We got some survivors here with us here today. They did a great job. Thank God there's no holes in the walls. I remember one of our youth lock-ins that we had to get the wall repaired in the middle of the night because a couple guys decided to throw themselves through the wall. So youth lock-ins are always a lot of fun. Tiffany asked me, said, "What? I don't understand it." I said, "Well, it's a lot of fun." And so they had a good time at the lock-in and bonfire. So today, I want to talk to you about the forgotten harvest. Jesus said something to his disciples. He said, look up to the field because the harvest is plentiful. How many know that the harvest is plentiful? When Jesus was talking about the harvest, what was he talking about? He wasn't talking about money. All right? He was talking about people. He was talking about souls. All right? And so when he said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. And so today, I'm going to be talking about the harvest. Now, immediately when you think of the harvest of people, what's the first people group when you think of, hear me now, I want to ask you a question. What's the first people group that you think of when it comes down to the harvest?
Farmers.
Huh?
Farmers.
Farmers? Yeah. Jake, you're on. Okay, that's the answer. All right. What is the other people group that you think of when you hear the word harvest? So far we have the farmers.
The unsaved.
Kids. What else?
Fruit.
All right, we are all over the place with this one, all right? So when we think of the harvest, we think of a lot of different things. You can think of a lot of different people groups. Sometimes people think of, you know, the people that are out of the country, third world countries. People think about the people on the street and so forth like that. Today, I want to talk to you about the forgotten harvest. Are you ready? Somebody shout, the forgotten harvest. Here's part one. Part one, the forgotten harvest, our family. Our family. Those that live with us, those that are under our roof, those are the ones that we kind of, sometimes we can tend to overlook. Can somebody shout amen to that? Amen. I'm talking about our sons, our daughters, our aunts, our uncles, our nieces, our nephews. I'm talking about those that's within us. Because when Jesus said you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, you'll be my witnesses. How many know that the Holy Spirit is given to us to be a witness? Come on. I feel God in this place. Are you with me? And so he said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witness in Judea. I want to talk about Judea for a minute. Judea is your homeboys. Look at somebody say, you're my homeboy.
You're
my homeboy. And so those are my family. These are the ones that are closest to me. And sometimes it's very easy to miss those that are closest to you. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
It's real easy sometimes to, maybe if the wife is saved and the husband's not saved, or if the husband's not saved and the wife is not saved, and or if the father, you know, I remember when I started going to church, it was sometimes a little awkward to talk to my father about the Lord. Did anybody else feel like that besides me? You know, it's like sometimes we just feel awkward, like we don't want to talk. Maybe we're a little shame, or we just feel backward. We don't know how to talk because we don't know each other on that level. But see, here's the problem with that, is that when we do that, then we tend to overlook our family. Now, I know that there are other harvest groups, and we're going to be talking about that as we continue on with this series. But today, I want to focus on the family, because we got to fight for the family. Not fight your family. I know we fight our family. How many know you're real good at fighting your family? Today, we're going to learn how to fight for the family. Come on, can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I know it's good. I know spouses, I know that we're really good at fighting each other. We're really good at fighting our kids. Today we're going to talk about learning. Kids, it's really easy to fight your parents too. Come on. And so today we're going to learn about how to fight for the family. Because you see, there is an enemy out there. How many know there is an enemy? There is an enemy of our soul that wants to, he is sent here to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy homes. He wants to destroy families. He wants to separate husbands and wives. He wants to get the kids rebellious. He wants to separate people. He wants to separate families. Because the enemy knows that when there's unity in the home, that means that pushes him out and allows the Holy Spirit to come in. Promise. God will bring to pass what he's promised you. And then he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." What, has anybody ever heard that before? You've heard that before? The Lord our God is one. That means that he is undivided. That means he is one God. That means that put away all the other gods. Don't put another God before him. He is all by himself. He is God. And then he said this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength." Serve the Lord with everything that's with you. Serve the Lord now. Don't wait until the end of days. Serve the Lord right now. Somebody shout right now. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." How many know that whatever's in your heart will come out of your mouth? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so whatever's in your heart will come out of your where? Your mouth. Verse 7. This is the key verse here I want to kind of focus on. Are you there? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. "And you shall teach." Not your children's teachers. And we thank God for our children's ministry. Not the pastor. We thank God for the pastor. But you shall teach them, mom, dad, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. The word house there is the other word for family. When you're sitting among your family, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. When you walk by the way means even when you go on journeys. Even when you're on vacation, you can still have God while you're on vacation, what he was saying. How many know that? You can still have God even when you're not in Maryland. We can still serve the Lord. And a lot of times we think about that. Well, Pastor, that's kind of a silly thing to say. But think about it. I'm sure there are people here that has taken trips before and you've gone out of state. Some of our families go to Florida for a time, snowbird, fly south for a few weeks, maybe a month. Do you put God on hold? Do we bring him with us in our home? And this is what God was saying. Teach your children about the Lord. Yes, it's the church's responsibility to teach about God. And I thank God for that. But the thing is that now, because our children are in our presence more than they are in the church, correct? Come on. So God wants us to learn how to teach our children the ways of the Lord. Almost every night I would go in when Alex was a baby and when my kids were, when Alex was growing up, when he was a baby, I would go in there every night to tell him a Bible story. Remember this, Alex? I thought I told you one too. As I was putting Alex to bed last night. but he knows these Bible stories. I would communicate these Bible stories in a way to where he can understand them. I would make my voice different. I would explain to him, and I would teach him, you know, why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fiery furnace, why David was in the lion's den, why Noah built the ark, and all these things. And I would teach him these Bible stories because it was my responsibility to teach them about God. In the same way, just like she's holding this little baby this morning, and he's here. He's hearing the word. Can I say this too? Don't leave your children home and make them miss church. Did you hear that? If they're still at home with you, or even if they're married, moms, dads, call up your son, call up your daughter, get into the house of God, because you want them to make sure they're in the house of God, that they're in church. Amen. Come on, somebody. It's okay to do that. It's okay to be in your children's life. I'm not saying be wrapped up all in business, but be in their life. Hey, son, you come into church in the morning.
daughter, you coming to church in the morning? Yeah, you know, it's important to make sure our children serve the Lord. Are you still with me? I'd rather them be here than anywhere else. I don't care if they're distracted. I don't care if they're playing around, looking at their phone or whatever. I'd rather them be right here. Because you know what? There's an anointing in the room, and the Word of God won't return void. We want them to get the Word of God in them. Amen. Teach them. And he said, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. He said, when you lie down, when you put them to bed, when you rise up, talk about the things of God. The question is this, mom, dad, parents, aunts, uncles, is God talked about in your home? Can you answer these questions? I'm going to ask you for a reason. Think about this. How often is God talked about in your home? How often do you have family times of prayer? How many times have you ever had communion in your home? How many times have you ever walked around and declared the Word of God or had worship in the house? How often, or is our children confused because of movies that contain all kind of cussing and violence and everything that's anti-God, and then all of a sudden the church will act holy? Are our children confused? Do they think that we're bipolar? Think split personalities? And I'm sorry if you are bipolar here today. Take your medicine. I'm okay. I'm sorry. But what I'm saying is that our children confused because they see mom and dad in a different way on the way to church than they see them in the church. Are we good performers? Do we know how to fake it? And God doesn't want to fake it. God wants us to be the same people all the time. That's the way I try to be. My wife and I, we try to be the same people all the time. Where we fight, there are times before church we fight, there are times we have disagreements and moments, but we refuse to allow it to stop us. It doesn't mean we fake it, it just means that we just refuse to allow it to stop us. We apologize, we repent, and we move forward. And then when our children, come on, is this good conversation? Is this good ministering this morning? Come on, shout amen if you're getting this. And then when they see that, and when they see mom and dad, and when they see that in you, and when they see that in aunts and uncles, and how they serve the Lord, all of a sudden our actions begin to preach louder than what we're saying. And then what we're doing now, we're living our life before the Lord. Now our children see what God looks like. You know, Josh was looking at my Bible this morning, right? He's like, Dad, when you die, I want this Bible. Just told me this a couple. He tells me this quite often. I don't know if he's waiting for that moment for me to drop off this earth or what. I don't know if he's going to take me out. If I'm unexpectedly snuffed out, you see Josh walking in with this. Yeah, you know what happened. All right. But stuff like that. To me, that's the generation of priests. It's like he wants his dad's Bible. You know, what an amazing and I'm trying to are you seeing what I'm talking about here, everybody? I'm talking about does our children see God in us? Is there stuff that we can leave our children that the Word of God will not go away? Heaven and earth will pass, but the Word of the Lord will remain forever. And what an amazing testimony that. What does he want from me? He also wants a watch from what he said, but he wants this word because it's valuable. Are you still with me? And it's something that we're leaving behind. And it said this. He said, "You shall wear them as frontlets between your eyes." Now, I looked up some different things on this, and what the Jewish people do is I don't have anything, but they would have like this box. And they would wrap it on their head, literally like this. And it wasn't this big, but it was much smaller than this. And so they would wrap it tied to their head, but on this box that they would wrap to their head, there was scriptures all over it. There was scriptures all over it. And then they would have this other thing, another strap, and they would strap, and it said, "You shall bind it on the frontlets of your eyes and write them down on the doorpost of your gates. And also sign on your hand as well." And so they would have this box on their forehead, and they would wrap their arms up in this other type of animal skin with scripture on it. And so they took it literal, and where they would have this as a front piece on them. And so what God was saying was, see, they took it to another level, and they took it literal. But what God wasn't saying put a box on your front head and walking around like this with scripture. But what he was saying was, let it always be in front of you. Let it always be on the front page of your mind. Let what I'm teaching you always be at your attention. Let it be so much in your eyes that it's always in you. And that's why Jesus said that if the whole eye, be careful what you see, that if our eye is full of light, our whole body is full of light. Our eye is the lamp of our body. And so that's what God was saying was, keep the word of God in front of you. Keep the commandments of God. Keep his statutes. Keep prayer. Keep worship in front of you at all times. Keep it on the frontlets of your mind. Keep it on the front always. Let it always be on your mind. And that the more that it's on the front page of your mind, the more you're going to communicate this to our kids. I'm talking about the forgotten harvest, the family. Are you still with me? Let's go to Joshua. Let's go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. Now fast forward. Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4 is a very interesting scene. Moses is dead. Moses is dead. The generation that came out of Egypt is now dead. And so now Joshua, now is time to cross over the Jordan River. And so God tells Joshua this. Tell the priest, take the ark, go into the river. Many of you know the story. And when you step foot in the river, the Jordan River is going to separate to the left and to the right, and you're going to cross over on dry land. And then do something very, very important. Tiffany, you said this morning, and I was blown away. I was like, whoa. And so he said, take 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, and I want you to set in. And it's kind of a confusing text, but what I get out of it, the way I'm interpreting it, that actually two cornerstones. One was on the side where they lodged, and one was in the midst of the Jordan. Because if you read that, it said, take 12 stones and take them and put them in the place where you lodge, and also put them in the midst of the Jordan. And there was two reasons. Now watch this. I believe prophetically that he said about putting 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, that when the Jordan River begins to descend and begins to dry up, that it shows the 12 stones. That God was saying that even in times of drought, look what I brought you through. That I can bring you through anything. That no matter what's overflowing in your life, no matter what enemy you're facing, I'm still the God of dry season. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. And the other reason why was this. Was that when you would walk by the way, it's in Joshua chapter 4, and he said, when you're taking a walk with your children, listen to this, that when your children see these 12 stones, they'll ask you, Dad, what are these 12 stones about? That's when you got the opportunity to say to them, well, son, the Jordan River was locked up, and we was on one side, and God brought us through. And not only that, our ancestors, God brought us out of Egypt. We was in slavery. And so it was an opportunity to tell about the goodness of God. It was the opportunity to teach their children. Somebody shout, our children. It was an opportunity to teach our children about God and about what he did and what he can do for them. You see, what we always want to teach our children was that they have the power to pray too. They also have the power to give and tithe and offering. That was one thing that my wife and I, that we always instilled in them. Always, you know, even off of their birthday money, she would always instill them to tithe off birthday money, to tithe off of any type of increase. Come on, somebody. Y'all getting quiet on me. Have you ever encouraged your children to tithe? I remember when Alex first started tithing, and he was younger, he'd go to work with me and make his money, and then we'd go to church that morning, he'd say, like, give me some money so I can tithe. I was like, I ain't give you no money. He said, give me some money so I can tithe, right? I said, son, you're supposed to be your money. I'm not supposed to give you money so you can tithe. And so we always taught our children about tithing. We taught them about giving to the Lord and the power of that. And now because we've done that, now it has become just second nature for them. I was talking to Josh the other day, and he was telling me about tithing. He missed church for a few weeks, and he had to get caught up and stuff like that. And it's like, here's a good question for you. Do you back tithe? Good. Good for you. Because it's not for the church. Because what I'm saying is, when we come in agreement with tithing, and with the tithe and offering, something is released out of God. We're coming in covenant with God. And it's like, it's second nature. Not even a question. And so when we begin to instill this into our children, let me ask you a question. I want to know who I'm talking to. How many here was like 3 years old in church? I want to see who was all here 2-3 years old in church. Awesome. Praise the Lord. All right. Out of those who just raised your hand, how many are over 40 years old? 2-3 years. How many is over 50? How many walked the earth when Moses was here? God bless you. And see, what's amazing about that, you were raised in church. And now we have a whole other generation that's sitting here that was not raised in church. Are you catching this? And so now what God is saying is, you raise up your children into the Lord. Are you raising your children to the Lord? Then are your grandchildren, what are your grandbabies? Just before Pursuit took place, are you guys getting, is this good? Enjoying this is good, right? Just before Pursuit happened, right, we're all up here praying, and Samson is up here, and in the name of Jesus, peace be still, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I'm like, come on, yes. And he's up here praying for peace, and also I'm laying down on the floor, and I'm praying, and then Samson comes on top of me and just lays down on top of me, you know. I'm like, yes. And I didn't care. I don't know if he didn't know what was going on or what, but the thing is that he was in that, you know. Yeah, I know the first thing, let's put the babies away. Let's put the babies over here. No, man, it's okay for the babies to be in that. Let them be in that prayer moment. Let them be in the presence of God. Let them learn what the presence of God is. Let them learn what praying in the Spirit looks like. Let them learn about what healing takes place. Let them learn about the Word of God. Let them see people praying. Let them see people going after God. Let them see what this looks like. Are you still with me? And so it was a memorial. Now let's fast forward 61 years later. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Josh, can you come, please softly? I just want to kind of slow down. We're going to have some prayer. Fast forward 61 years. Now listen to this. Joshua just crossed over the Jordan River. He's 59 years old. Joshua now, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he's 110. He's 110. And he gives this announcement to the children of Israel. He says, all right. He said, if serving God is evil, don't serve him. If serving the other gods on the other side of the Jordan, if that's the gods that you want to serve, then serve them. And then he said one of the most famous sayings that's in the whole Bible. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's Joshua, 61 years later. He served as the leader. For 61 years, he taught them to teach their children. For 61 years, he taught them, teach your children the ways of the Lord. Teach them about prayer. Teach them about the commandments. Teach them about serving the Lord. Teach them about life. Teach them about God. Teach them about worship. Because in Judges chapter 2, after the death of Joshua and after the death of that entire generation, one of the most saddest stories, I believe, that for me personally, it says that after that generation died, listen to this, after Joshua died and after that entire generation that crossed over the Jordan, listen to this, the entire generation that crossed over the Jordan, that made the 12 memorial stones, after that generation died, another generation came up, and they did not know the Lord. What happened? What happened? Where did they drop the ball? Where did they come short? they were supposed to teach their children. You know what that tells me? They didn't teach their children the ways of the Lord. They didn't make sure that their children were serving God. Well, Pastor, I can't control what my kids do. You know what? There are parents that help their parents. I've seen parents help their kids go out of state to weddings and other things more than they help them get to church. Are you catching this? I remember, I know throughout the years, I've had parents complain to me about different youth ministry stuff and all, they're coming home too late, and this and this and that. I'm like, are you kidding me? I remember one time, our youth was in the Life House, right? And so that was our youth room at the moment. And so they had the idea to paint the youth room. And they wanted to, like, splatter it. You know, like that neon paint, splatter it. Well, I'm telling you, man, they had... It looked like somebody died in there after they got done. There was paint everywhere. On every square inch of the house, this Life House right here. There was orange, pink, green, red. There were colors in there. And then there was one big color, and it looked like death. It did. And I walked in there, and I just about... I almost passed out. I'm killing myself laughing. And then the parents, man, they got so mad. They wanted to kill me. They wanted to kill the kids. I said, if this is the worst thing our kids ever do in church, then praise God. It's okay. I'm not saying for us to do this now, okay, Jake? Let's not have a youth lock-in and come back and our church is all splattered. But this is what I'm saying. I'd rather them, you know, make some noise here. Church, than the club or the bar. Make sure that we want to raise our kids up in the Lord. Every person here, you have children, you have nieces, you have nephews. Get them here. Get them here to the house of God. We're rearranging our offices and we're making a new classroom because we believe in children's ministry. We want to minister to more different age groups. In a way that's more healthy, to where we can target them in a way to where they can learn and grow in the Lord. Children's ministry is important to us. It's not just a babysitting hour so that you can come out here and get adult teaching, and they back there, they can eat popsicles and goldfish nuggets. It's a time of ministry where they're learning the ways of the Lord. We got to learn how to fight for our family. Stop fighting the family and start fighting for the family. Let it be on the front list. Let it be on the front of your mind always. That's why it's so important to get into the house of God so you can get equipped. Learn the Bible. Learn what the Bible says. And here's the last thing I want to close. We're going to pray. When Samson asked that question, what did you say when your kids ask you those questions? I remember there was a young guy up in Jersey just now, just a few weeks ago, when we did a service there Friday night. You remember he said his baby asked him about Jesus, right? Or heaven. What was it? I can't remember. Was it about Jesus, about heaven? Our kids want to know about heaven. Our kids want to know about God. And said at that moment, it convicted him in such a way. And it made him turn his life even deeper to the Lord. So parents, I'm asking you this question. What are you giving your kids? You can leave behind jewelry. You can leave behind money. You can leave behind these things, and guess what? They're going to go away. The greatest thing that we can leave behind our kids is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that we can leave our children is salvation, to know that they're going to go to heaven too. That because just because mom and dad serve the Lord, that doesn't mean my children are going to automatically serve God. You can be involved in ministry. It doesn't mean that your children are going to automatically serve God. Because they've got to make a decision for themselves. Just because my mom prayed for me, just because my mom serves the Lord, doesn't mean I'm going to go to heaven. And so in the same way, the families need to serve the Lord. Need to learn how to come together and serve the Lord. Pray as a family. Pray for your children. Pray in your home. before you go to bed, if you got children at home, I dare you tonight, mom or dad, to sit at their bed and tell them to, if you only know one Bible story, tell it and tell it with everything that you've got. Make it creative. Make it to where they can understand. Sit down next to Hannah and Hazel tonight. I dare you. Tell a Bible story. Don't forget about it. Just now they've grown up and no VeggieTales. We don't watch it no more. But let's give them the Lord still. Your nieces, your nephews, you can talk about God. Make it creative for them. Let them know from you. Let them know from us that's important to serve the Lord. Then be consistent with it. Be consistent. Don't let them ask, hey, we're going to church today. Well, yeah, it's raining outside. We don't normally go to church when it's raining. Hey, are we going to church today? Well, it's a holiday. We don't normally go to church on holidays. Let them know. Well, we have family over. So-and-so sleeping on the living room floor. I'm still going to church. Pastor, why is church, going to church so important? You know that it's sin to not go to church? The Bible talks about not forsaking the assembly of the brethren, as some of you have started to do, he said. Do you know Jesus went to church? The Bible said he would open up the scripture and he read it as he was accustomed to. That means that he would regularly come to the synagogue. He would regularly come there. Even when he was 12, he was found in the synagogue. He loved to come to the house of God. He wanted to hear the word of God preached. Listen, with our children, I'm telling you, we have a lot of children in our church. They're not the next generation. They are this generation. They outnumber us. And so what would happen if we would go after this generation, if we would go after our family? Right now, I want you to begin to think about, we're going to pray for our children. I want you to begin to think about your children. I don't care if they're married or they're not married. They're single. They're teenagers. They're infants. Whatever. I want you to begin to think about our children right now. All your children, your nieces, your nephews. If you don't have any children, how about your nieces, your nephews? Begin to put them on your heart right now. Because sometimes when I see young people, and I see them sometimes at some of our weddings, and I see them and they're teenagers and they're walking out with all these glasses, and I'm saying to myself, oh my gosh, they're so thirsty. Somebody get them a Gatorade. But it's alcohol. Young people are smoking and saying, you know what? What would happen if mom and dad, we started to set the example of holiness, of what holiness, I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I'm talking about holiness. I'm talking about godly standards. I'm talking about having values of God in our home that we live by. And what would the atmosphere of our home look like? What would our families, what would our children look like? They would grow up knowing the ways of the Lord. They would know it firsthand. Get them a Bible. Read the Bible with them. Teach them the Bible. This is the commandment of God. This is what God told us to do. This is not me telling you. This is God telling you. Hey, we got to teach our children. It's our responsibility as moms and dads, as aunts and uncles, to communicate the gospel. You know, during child dedication, that baby belongs to God, absolutely. But you know, child dedication is more for the parents to raise up their child in the ways of the Lord, that when they're old, they won't depart. That's the parents' responsibility. That's really more of the parents' opportunity there to say, you know what, I'm going to dedicate myself to the Lord. Amen? Let's stand. Please stay in an attitude of prayer. This is what I'm going to ask you for today. How many would hear today would dedicate yourself to be an example of God to your children? How many here today would say, I want to be an example of God to my nieces and my nephews? I want to be an example of God to my cousins, to my aunts, my uncles, to my family. I'm talking about the family. I'm talking about the forgotten harvest. Because the first thing when we think of the harvest, we think of the person on the street We think of the stranger. These people are the harvest too. But the most overlooked harvest is our family. We figure, oh, they'll get it. Somebody else will pray for them. No, God wants to send you. God wants to use you. God wants to send me. He wants to send us to our family. And not as a self-righteous, hit them over the head lesson, but you come to them with love and teach them the ways of the Lord. Teach them about God. And you say things like, not because I'm perfect, but because what I've learned in life. And every person here, you all got a testimony, a story to tell. You got something to speak to you about. So I want you to think about this thing. Is how do you explain the plan of salvation to a 4 or 5 year old? And when you learn how to do that, you'll be able to communicate the gospel better. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we yield ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you today. God, we want to be a kingdom of priests, to be a holy example to those that are around us. Father, I pray that you with me. Come on, every person here, dedicate me. I dedicate myself to you, God, to be an example to the children. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, right where you're at, if you have a child or you have a niece or a nephew, if you have a child or a niece or a nephew, I want you to come around this altar and we want to pray for them right now. Come on, hurry. That should be pretty much everybody. We're going to pray that the enemy no longer is going to have a hold on this generation. Come on, how many are going to be in agreement right now that the enemy is no longer going to have a hold on this generation? That our children and our children's children will serve the Lord. That the enemy will not have them any longer. So right now, all over this place, I want you to begin to just whisper their name to the Lord. Come on. It might be one. It might be 10. Just come on. Let's begin to declare these names out of our mouth right now. Come on. Declare these names of our children. If you've got grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews. Come on right now, church. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up every person in this room, God. We lift up our children. We lift up our nieces, our nephews, God. We lift them up to you. Lord, the infants, the adolescents, the young people, the teenagers, the ones that are married, the ones that are single. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would get a hold of them. Lord, we pray that the enemy no longer will have a hold on them. But God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would, God, that you would get a hold of their heart and they would serve you all the days of their life, God. We pray in Jesus' name that no weapon formed against them shall ever prosper. God, I declare freedom, that they would walk in salvation. I declare salvation, God, over my children. Salvation over my nieces and my nephews. Salvation, God, over these young people. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for our homes to be full of godliness. We pray for our homes to be places of worship. We pray for our homes to be places of prayer. God, make our homes places of the Spirit of God. We pray against confusion and envy and strife, God, in every home. And we pray for the Spirit of God to come. In the name of Jesus. Now let's lift our hands to God. Come on, as we give these young people to the Lord.